Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses. And then he gives these three times: at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Never come to God with empty hands. So I want to speak to you about that today. Never empty-handed. God bless you. Please be seated. There were seven feasts of Israel, four in the spring, three in the fall. In the spring was Passover and leavened bread, first fruits, and the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. In the fall was the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. But of those seven feasts, three were mandatory that every male would appear before the Lord. Of course, they would typically bring their families. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was a seven-day festival. It followed the Passover, commemorated the exodus from Egypt when God delivered his people out of bondage. They had to leave so quick that their bread did not have time to rise, so they ate unleavened bread in this feast every year. In this feast, there were sacrifices in the morning, all kinds of unleavened bread eaten throughout the week. And on this week, there were burnt offerings, daily sacrifices, two young bulls, one ram, seven male lambs, all unblemished, along with grain and drink offerings. There were sin offerings of a male goat offered every day to make the atonement for sin. When you came to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you never came empty-handed. Then there was the Feast of Weeks, the second of the mandatory feasts. It was a full 7 weeks, exactly 50 days after the Passover, after that Feast of First Fruits. And it's also known as Pentecost, 50 Pentecost. Pente is what means where we get 50th from. Now, this was one of the harvest feasts, and they were commanded to present an offering of new grain to the Lord, according to Leviticus 23, a wave offering of loaves, 2/10 of an ephah, and they had flour and bread that was baked in the oven, along with the celebration of the goodness of God were various sacrifices. Seven lambs of the first year without blemish, and one bull and two rams were offered to the Lord. Additional daily offerings to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you came to the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Pentecost, you were never empty-handed. Then there was the Feast of Tabernacles. It was the last of the seven feasts, the third of the three mandatory feasts. It took place in the fall, and it was a harvest festival. It would correspond to our late October and November in their calendar. It was 5 days after the Day of Atonement, the end of the harvest, and it celebrated God's provision for his people, that God has been good to us this year. But it also looked back to God's goodness during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They were reminded that they were not always established in a land. So during this feast, they would live in temporary booths. They would gather branches and they would camp out during this Feast of Tabernacles to remember that one time God delivered us and we were transitory, but now God has planted us in the land. They would bring their tithes of the year at this time into the temple once the temple was built. There were so many sacrifices offered in the Feast of Tabernacles that they need all 24 teams or courses of priests to participate in sacrificing all the animals. It was joyous, but it was not without sacrifice. On the first day, 13 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs were sacrificed. The number was reduced every day by 1 throughout the course of the week. But during that week, during this festival, there were many animal sacrifices: 71 bulls, 15 rams, 105 lambs, 8 male goats. And when you came to the Feast of Tabernacles, you were never empty-handed. I was hoping you would pick up on, it's your turn to say, never empty-handed. Deuteronomy 16:16, three times a year, Your male shall appear before the Lord in the place where he chooses at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Amen. All the way back to Genesis, when Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, when you come to the Lord, you never come empty-handed. Abel offered a sacrifice. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible tells us to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We don't come empty-handed with our finances. But then in Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We don't just come bringing our money. We come bringing our bodies, our lives, ourselves. We never come empty-handed, but we bring our best to the Lord. I appreciate you responding to the call to worship just a few minutes ago, because you stepped out, you stepped up, and voices were lifted, hands were raised. We understand that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we never come to worship empty-handed. Amen? Hebrews 13, 15, by him, by Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, I know your voice is not your hand, but this is what the Bible teaches, that when you come into the presence of God, when you come to the Lord, although he has given us the free gift of salvation, he expects us to come with something in our hand, something in our heart, something in our mouth. We never come empty-handed. 1 Chronicles 16, 29. Give unto the Lord the glory, do his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Never empty-handed. The amazing thing about God is that his expectations are never unreasonable. His call for sacrifice. When the sacrificial system was instituted, the Lord made provision for the rich and for the poor. When you were bringing a sin or a guilt offering, if you could not afford a lamb or a goat, then you were permitted to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons for those offerings. And if you were so poor, you cannot even bring those simple birds to the Lord, you were allowed to bring a tenth of an ephah of fine flour. So while not everyone could bring the same offering, no one could come empty-handed. In the burnt offerings, it was similar in a tier system. The wealthy might offer a bull or a sheep, but if you were limited in means, you again could bring a turtle dove or a young pigeon. There was an offering of purification after childbirth, a cleansing from childbirth. A mother was required to bring a lamb, a pigeon, and a dove. But in Leviticus 12, the Bible said that you would bring this to the door of the tabernacle. But then listen to the kindness of God, the understanding that we're not on the same socioeconomic plane. Leviticus 12 and 8. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtle doves. This is not turtles, but two turtle doves for all our students in the crowd. Two young pigeons, especially not ninja turtles, the one for the burnt offering, the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Now, this is significant that when Jesus Christ was born in a barn, laid in a feed trough in the little town of Bethlehem, Later, when Mary was offering this offering of purification, the Bible said that Mary and Joseph brought an offering of birds. That would indicate to us that they were very poor. When we say that Jesus Christ came in a lowly fashion, his parents could not afford the ram or a lamb or a goat. They had to bring the sacrifice of the poor. So I want to give you a pass here today that you may not be able to bring what others bring, but no matter who you are, what you have, where you've been, what you're struggling with, when you come to God, it should never be empty-handed. And if you believe that, why don't you give a hand to the Lord right now? Amen. Now, my target audience today is everybody, but it's Graduate Sunday. When you heard all of those accolades given to our graduates, they've really given their best, and they're high achievers, amen? So I want to say to them, and I want to say to every young person here today, all the children that can listen while they're being distracted and kept busy, thank you, Children's Ministry, for giving them some tools to stay occupied during church. But to every one of us, I want to encourage you to bring something to God always. We live in a society of entitled people who always have their hand out to get rather than to give. Some people come to church, serve us, and they see society and the church and every institution as serving them. But today I want to establish something that is throughout the Word of God, that no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, if you've been forgiven of your sins, don't ever come empty-handed. Always bring something to God and always bring the best that you have. Amen? We do not all have the same IQ. We do not all have the same income or the same resources, but if we have breath, everything that has breath should praise the Lord, and that is a starting point for everyone where no one is excluded. Amen. The Bible said that the dead praise not the Lord. So if you're not praising the Lord, maybe that tells you something about where you are spiritually. But if you're alive, you should have a praise on your lips. No matter if you've had a bad week, if you're struggling with a habit, you ought to still say, praise the Lord, amen. I'm going to come with something in my hand and something in my heart to the Lord. Amen. No one has nothing. No one is a zero in the sight of God. He valued you so much that he laid down his life for you. He knows that you're so valuable to him that while you don't deserve eternal life, he purchased it with his blood on the cross and made us part of the body of Christ. You have great value to the Lord. It was the free gift of salvation that the price he paid for you redeemed you. Amen? But now you have something. No matter whether it's little or a lot, you should never come to the Lord empty-handed. Your time belongs to him. Your talent belongs to him. Your treasure belongs to the Lord. We are stewards. We are managers of all the resources that we have in our lives, regardless of the nature of those resources, and we are to steward them. We are to manage them in a way that brings glory to God. Our time, our talent, our treasure should be given generously, invested wisely, saved intentionally, and spent responsibly. We should make sure that we bring something in our hand to the Lord. Amen. So I want to get really, really practical today. You know, recently we had the world famous Memorial Day picnic, and we had close to 500 people there. We did a ticket count, and a lot of people came in later, and staff and volunteers didn't get a ticket. So about half of our active membership was at the picnic, not quite half. But I was thinking about all the people that brought something. They brought enough food for their family and a little more for those who were guests. because we don't expect our guests to come with something in their hand. We want to make sure that we provide something for them. A picnic is a time of fellowship and food and fun. We sign up for registration. Maybe you missed those emails, public announcements, text messages, carrier pigeons that brought all of that information to give you a chance to volunteer. And at the picnic, we even gave you another chance. But I want to say thank you, because we had an army of people that stepped up, as they always do, to make sure that there was food there. It was set out. The tables were clean. Everything was put away. We had recreation. Amen. Thank God for everybody who served to make that a really good time. But I just want to say, if you came empty-handed, you missed the mark of the Bible. Amen. Oh, wow. It's so powerful in here right now. What about the support of the church financially? I mentioned that scripture, but we are blessed to have hundreds of faithful tithers and givers in our church. And I want to say this now about all the different points I'm going to make, that we're doing good by the grace of God, and our God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, whether it is financial or ministries. God takes care of his people. So my concern is not about the body of Christ, the corporate church. It's about you, because if you've come empty-handed, I want to give you an empty invitation to fill your hand with something to bring to the Lord. He has an expectation that you never come empty-handed. Amen. Most of us grew up in church when you actually had money that you could hold in your hand and put in a wallet. It wasn't that digital age. And four kids in our family, and when we would go to Sunday school, my parents, I remember it was a quarter, 25 cents, and I guess back then, that was thousands of years ago, of course, that was a good offering for a kid in Sunday school. But many of us who grew up in church grew up knowing that you just don't go to church empty-handed. You bring an offering to the Lord, a financial offering, and you learn when you get your first job that you start returning your tithes to the Lord. And I thank those of you who you have a conviction, you like to give physically and put it in those kiosks. And I know COVID changed a lot of things. We don't pass the plate and take a physical offering. But whether it's in person or digitally, however you give, giving is an act of worship. It is a way of extending our hand to God and saying, thank you, Lord. You've been good to me. You're the Lord of my life. And I return my tithes to you. I generously give my offerings, but I will never come to you empty-handed. I want to show this verse again that I showed you earlier, but for three words, Malachi 3:10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. The Lord said, you know, how many times does God say, put me to the test? Usually God is testing us, but in this case, God says, I want you to test me and see if I will not bless you for honoring me. If you will come to me with something in your hand, watch what I do for you. I just want you to know that you will never give to God anything that he does not outgive you, for he will make it pressed down, running over, shaken together. God will bless you if you will not come empty-handed. All of the imagined giving and the amazing things that happen in our church because of generosity. We've learned what Jesus said that is only recorded in Acts chapter 20, 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And to the hundreds of people who understand giving of their finances, I want to say thank you for a beautiful sanctuary, for the ability to function. Would you give all of the tithers, all of the offering givers, all of the imagine givers, all of the missions givers, would you just thank them right now, even if it's yourself? Amen. Thank you for not coming empty-handed. You are a blessing, And we thank the Lord for what Jesus taught, what we've learned, Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The people that love Atlanta West or whatever local church they're a part of, the people that love the kingdom of God the most are the people who put their time there, their talent there, their treasure there, their finances there. They care about the church. They love the church because they never come empty-handed, and I thank you for getting that. Amen. Amen. Never empty-handed. What about ministry? My first job, I learned that if you're walking through the grocery store, you know, lowly bag boy that I was, if you see a piece of paper on the floor, you pick it up, you don't pass it up. My grandmother taught our family that many hands make light work. So I've always been, you know, had a bias for action. I've always thought that people who have initiative are the greatest people in the world. You don't have to beg them, coerce them. They just see a need and they respond to that need. They just know that if there's something to be done, I'm the first volunteer to raise my hand, whatever it is, because I'm not coming empty-handed. Amen. Once again, we've got amazing volunteers. Our children's team is here. But I just want to say, if you're sitting on the sidelines, not because of health, not because of schedule, not because of a legitimate reason, we call it a Holy Ghost excuse, but if you're just there with the closed hand or a receiving hand and not a giving hand, today I'm inviting you to make a difference in this church, in the kingdom of God, to get involved and serve where you're needed, serve where you're gifted, that you would open your hand to give and make a difference in the kingdom of God wherever it is. Amen? Now that was really good, right? Now, I thought about this. This is Graduate Sunday. This is a great time of the year. Pastor's going to get up and throw down a little bit and call everyone into account. I'm standing here today not because I have an axe to grind, not because I've got an issue I want to address. I am standing here because I live with the conviction that God saved me to serve, that God gave me abilities and gifts and gave me a little money so that I can make a difference in the kingdom of God, in the lives of other people, whether no matter where it is, that I should live to give and not to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And I want to give all the legitimate grace to everyone who has the Holy Ghost reason to not serve. But if it's because you won't commit to apostolic identity and holiness and the word of God, or you just don't want to be faithful, you know, that's another issue. I'm giving you a chance to say, you know what, pastor's talking to us today, but more than that, the word of God and the Holy Ghost is talking to me today. I want to make a difference with my life. Amen. When you die, it's not what you get that's going to make a difference. It's what you give. It's the legacy you leave. It's the people you change. It's the lives that you affected by your work and your ministry. Don't come empty-handed. Now I want to talk to students for a minute. You know, when you go to school, there's a lot of people that just kind of slide by. I will admit that when I was a teenager, junior high, back then we didn't have middle school, junior high, senior high, there's a prevailing attitude to just graduate. You know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but out of a class of 950, I graduated in the top 25% and didn't even try. I'm embarrassed to say that back then it was just kind of graduate and get a job. I thank the Lord that He got a hold of my heart when I went to Bible college that I needed to give my best. I had to stay up really late a lot of nights. learning how to really study and apply myself so that I wasn't just sliding by. Because if you just live to coast and you just live to exist, you don't have a passion. But when you know you have a purpose, that purpose ignites a passion inside of you to give your best to everything you do. Amen. It's not just about that class. It's not about the grade. It's about the character you are forming. It's the habits that you are forming. It's the life that you are building. And whatever you bring to every day adds up to who you become, the life that you live, and the difference you make for your family in this world. So I want to tell you, no matter where you are in school, do your best, apply yourself, be a witness for Jesus Christ, show everybody around you that you're different because you have Jesus Christ and you have a reason to live and a reason to give your best. Don't ever come to the classroom empty-handed. Come bring in your very best. Amen. And whenever you finish your academic career and you get a job, don't be that person who's a slacker to your employer. Go ahead and keep that same amount of character, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. You should be the best employee in the entire company, the hardest worker, the most conscientious. Not only are you not stealing, you're making a difference by what you give. I know you didn't expect this sermon on this Sunday. You see, it's the way you think. It's the way you live. It's the culture of the kingdom of God. That wherever you go, you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ from the early years in your life. And you think, some people wake up, you know, they think they're going to wake up one day and go from here to there without the steps required from here to there. Greatness never happens overnight. It often happens in the dark, unseen, where no one knows that you're quietly laboring to be your best. But over time, God and life honors people who bring the best that they have to everything they do because God deserves it, and we should never come empty-handed. Amen? Why don't you give the Lord an applause right now? Let me give a little Bible to back up what I said about your job. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily with all your heart, as to the Lord and not unto men. So in other words, not to your teacher, not to your professor, not to your boss, but you're working. Everything you do it with all your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing, everybody say knowing. Knowing that God is watching. Knowing that God is paying attention to my academic efforts, to my work ethic, to how I serve, to how I give, to how I treat people, to my general outlook on life. Knowing that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You see, everything that I've said today is really not about your relationship with this local church alone, or a school, or a company. It is about your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. For wherever I go and whatever I do, if I do it unto him, whether I get a thank you or a pat on the back or a promotion or a bonus, I know that in my own character, in my own work ethic, in my own desire about life, that if I bring my best, no one can stop God from rewarding me from being my best and bringing my best. Never come empty-handed. And Paul wrote about people that were evidently slackers in the church. They could work, but they were not working in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. This work ethic that is part of the church is very spiritual. And Paul writes that if you don't take care of your family by bringing your best, by working, that you're not a Christian, you're not living like a Christian, you've denied the faith, and you're worse than a pagan person. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, it doesn't say could not work, would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. I put that next verse in there because these people have got their hand out to get everything they could get, but never anything they could give. But I am preaching to you today the word of God. I am calling you to come to the Lord and always bring him the best that you have. You may not have what someone else has to give, just like that Old Testament sacrificial system, but I assure you, you have something. In the kingdom of God, there are 5 talent people and 2 talent people and 1 talent people. That's just the way life is. But if you've just got 1 talent or that's what you feel you have, no one has nothing. Everyone has something. And I will take a 1-talent person with motivation and passion and work ethic all day long over a 5-talent person who doesn't have a passion to make a difference. So no matter who you are, no matter how lowly you feel like you are, I'm calling you today to bring your best to the Lord Jesus Christ and never come empty-handed. Now, some of you are a little traumatized right now. You're not used to anybody being this direct as I've been today. I'm sorry if I've hurt your feelings. I really mean that. But I'm really not trying to mess with your feelings. I'm trying to mess with your will. Because feelings come and go. But when you make a decision and you do the right thing, whether you feel it or not, and I'm just inviting you that when you come to the table of life, wherever that venue is, whatever table that is, that you not just come letting everybody else serve you, that you're looking for a way to be a servant, to make a difference in your family, in your neighborhood, in your school, at work, in the church, that you always bring your best. But I've learned that many people feel like they don't have a lot to give. The Apostle Paul doesn't seem that way, but he felt that way. Before coming to Jesus Christ, he breathed out threatenings and slaughters. He was trying to persecute everybody everywhere. He was a Christian, but he was always reaching, always striving, always fighting to be the best, giving his all, served people day and night in ministry, worked a job and ministered at the same time. Brilliant, educated, disciplined, strategically position for ministry. But the Apostle Paul wrote about himself in 1 Corinthians 15:9. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles. I'm not even meet or worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." But he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not wasted, was not in vain. But when God gave me his grace and saved me, Paul said, I rolled up my sleeves. I went to work and I labored more abundantly than they all. He said, maybe others could outdo me in this, or others served God since they were a little kid. But when the Lord smiled on my life and saved me, I brought my best to that process. I brought my best to ministry, and I labored more abundantly than they all. And then he kind of backs off and says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So today, I'm inviting you to make a difference in the world, to take whatever you have, whoever you are, no excuses, it's time to stop making excuses. Start making decisions. Everybody's got a problem. Everybody's got a hang up. Everybody's got a defect. Everybody has an excuse to not be your best. But I have one good reason. His name is Jesus Christ. He loved me when I was unlovable. He paid the price for my sins when I was dead in my sins. I owe him everything. I realize that I am not my own. I am bought with the price. And so I glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which belongs to God. Would you bow your heads right now? Lord God, I come to you right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the amazing potential that is in this room right now. Every child, every young person, every young adult, every one of us, Lord, who are adults at many seasons of life. We may feel like we don't have much to give, Lord, but I pray that you would help us see what we do have to give and that we would find a way, Lord, to make a meaningful contribution to the kingdom of God and to our world. I pray, Lord, today for the person that is on the sideline that just doesn't feel like they can or that they should be accountable for giving. And I ask you, Lord, to speak to them, that you would call them into a place of accountability and let them see that with their prayer, with their life, with their encouragement of others, with their ministry, with their giving, that they can make a difference. And Lord, I pray that you would help us have a conviction that we should never come empty-handed. I pray for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. And would you stand and would you lift your hands to the Lord and would you give a praise to him right now? Give a praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Really give a praise to him. I've been preaching about not coming empty-handed. So let's come with praise and heart. Give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.